Good morning with KUAC News. I'm Dan Bross. A teenager is dead after a boating accident in South Central Alaska. Alaska State Troopers report that 19-year-old Bryce Adams of Wasilla drowned after a canoe capsized early this morning in Finger Lake between Palmer and Wasilla. Troopers say they were notified before 2 a.m. about someone screaming for help from an island. They say the man had been in the canoe when the boat overturned and made it to the island, but Adams disappeared. Neither was wearing a life jacket. Adams' body was recovered after 6 this morning. The start of the boating season in interior Alaska comes as area rivers are running high. National Weather Service meteorologist Melissa Kreller in Fairbanks points to two factors.
Additional snowmelt that continues to move into the waters, and this precipitation that's fallen over the week should see some water rises.
Kreller says that can pose problems for boaters getting out this weekend.
Definitely debris, increased debris moving downriver, and those gravel bars in which some folks like to camp out on might see some higher water in those areas. So be aware and cautious.
Kreller says drier weather is expected Sunday and Monday, and river levels are forecast to recede next week. Environmental Protection Agency Administrator Scott Pruitt has pledged action to address PFAS groundwater contamination.
This is a national priority that we need to focus upon as a country.
That's Pruitt speaking Tuesday at an EPA National PFAS Leadership Summit. PFAS is a category of chemical compounds in a range of products from nonstick coatings to firefighting foam used for decades, which have contaminated groundwater at many locations, including in Alaska. Pruitt listed actions the EPA is initiating to address the issue, starting with a baseline water contamination standard.
We will take the next step under the Safe Drinking Water Act process to evaluate the need of a maximum contaminant level for PFOA and PFAS.
That's a legal threshold for a chemical allowed in public water. The EPA currently only has a lifetime exposure level for PFAS compounds, a threshold some studies indicate is too high, putting people at risk of health effects, including cancer. Pruitt also identified other steps the EPA is taking.
We're currently developing groundwater cleanup recommendations for PFOA and PFAS at contaminated sites across the country, and we'll complete this task by the fall of this year. Thirdly, another action steps that we're going to be taking post this meeting is we're starting the necessary steps to consider establishing liability under CERCLA, either Section 107 or Section 102, to declare PFAS, PFOA, as a hazardous substance. That will contribute to steps we can take to get accountability under our CERCLA statute.
CERCLA is the Comprehensive Environmental Response, Compensation, and Liability Act. The EPA National Leadership Summit on PFAS was attended by representatives of 38 states, including Alaska. State Department of Environmental Conservation, Division of Environmental Health Director Christina Carpenter attended, but is unavailable for comment until next week. PFAS groundwater contamination has been detected around 16 facilities in Alaska, including Eielson Air Force Base, Fairbanks International Airport, and a City of Fairbanks Firefighting Training Center. Alaska Native language speakers from across the state have completed a 4-day institute at the University of Alaska Fairbanks. 10 of Alaska's 20 indigenous languages were represented at the Alaska Native Language Revitalization Institute, which shared learning tools and techniques and provided time for speakers to immerse themselves in their language in working groups. On the final day, participants reflected on their experiences.
My name is Gladys Drinoff. I'm from Huslia. In our, when we have potlatches and stuff, our late dad, Edwin Simon, used to say, don't leave the place without saying thank you. So, Anna Bassi, to everybody, I learned really lots. Thank you.
We'll be strong. I'm Pauline Demas from Nunawak, and it's so good to be here and see all these people and languages, and it feels like we're one.
Working group representatives talked about ways of increasing the number of native language speakers, including through charter schools. But HIDA speaker Dolores Churchill emphasized learning should not be limited to the Western classroom model.
We all learn from our parents, and we learn from experimentation. And teachers forget that, and that's why so many of our children are having a difficult time in the schools.
it would be a complete pleasure to be able to see Haida being spoken in the homes as a first language.
Ben Young pointed to a vision developed by the Haida Language Group to have a fluent mass of speakers in 30 years.
It would be a complete pleasure to be able to see Haida being spoken in the homes as a first language, right? As I seen earlier, we talked about the idea of us being second language learners, but teaching our kids to be first language learners at home. That's something that rings true for us, and that's something that we'd love to see.
The Alaska Native Language Revitalization Institute concluded yesterday with a drum ceremony. I'm Dan Bross.